Barcelona, El Prat Airport. The flight to London was scheduled to take off at 7 a.m. As he stepped out of the chauffeured car at the terminal's curb, Jordan half expected a squad of police or security agents to descend on him any moment. He had slept at Rudaki's house, and the professor had provided him with a handsome traveler's check to cover his expenses. "Old-fashioned, using paper," Rudaki had said as he handed Jordan the check. "But it's not traceable by their usual means." "This is terribly good of you," Jordan said. "I'm afraid that's all I can do for you." With a crooked little smile, the professor had said, "The money comes from a fund that's available to members of the World Council. In a sense, your trip will be financed by Anita Halleck." His smile fading, he had added, "I hope she won't be able to trace it." Jordan appreciated the irony of that as he left the chauffeured car Rudaki had provided him and headed straight to the airport's money exchange booth. Now he forced himself to sit and wait for the plane to London to take off. He was booked on a London to Chicago flight later in the day. "What's happened to Aditi?" he asked himself over and over again. "Is she all right?" Aditi was also sitting tensely on the living room sofa in the apartment where she'd spent the night, watching Audrey's lean, aged face in the holographic viewer. "I have set up a lecture demonstration by the leader of our communications department," the old man was saying. "If you can get your communications technicians to provide me with a time that would be convenient for them, we can begin their education." Audrey's image froze, and Aditi realized he was waiting for her response. She nodded, knowing he wouldn't see her reaction for an hour. "One further thing, Audrey," she said, lowering her voice even though she knew all the surveillance devices in the apartment had been disabled. "Can you help me get out of this complex? I want to be free. I want to find Jordan and be with him." Anita Halleck was livid. The chief of her security department stood before her desk like a guilty little schoolboy, his head hanging low, while she fulminated. "Gone? Escaped from the hotel? How is that possible? How could one man get through your security system and waltz out of that hotel? Didn't you have him under surveillance? Didn't you have a team of agents covering the hotel?" His voice so low Halleck could barely hear it, the security chief said merely, "He got past our people. We have camera views of him every step of the way, but he beat up two of our people and slipped out of the hotel before my team could stop him." "Fire them!" Halleck snapped. "Fire each and every one of them." "I'm afraid that's not possible, ma'am. Their employment contracts—" "I don't care what their contracts say. Get rid of them. Transfer them to Timbuktu or Mars if you can't fire them."
"Yes, Madam Chairwoman."
"And find Jordan Kell. Wherever he is, I want him found and brought here to me."
Licking his lips, the security chief said, "We checked all the taxicab trips throughout the city at that time of night."
"And?"
"There was one trip where the customer didn't pay his fare. He got out of the cab through the overhead emergency exit and left just a couple of minutes before midnight."
"That could be him."
"Yes'm. I personally analyzed the street map of the area where he left the cab. It's an upscale residential neighborhood."
"Kell doesn't know anyone in Barcelona," Halleck said.
"He's met the council members, hasn't he?"
"Yes."
"Councilman Rudaki lives a few blocks from where Kell left the cab, assuming it was Kell. We have voice recordings from his talking to the cab's computer. They're pretty weak, but my people are trying to see if they match Kell's speech patterns."
"Rudaki," Halleck murmured.
"He went to Rudaki's home?" "It's a possibility."
"You get a team to his house immediately. Search the premises, cellar to attic."
Turning to her desktop phone console, Halleck commanded,
"Get Professor Rudaki and tell him I want to see him here in my office immediately."